I have a trembling on the inside of me tonight. Sometimes is the word responsibility, giving an account one day to the Master for what's done, knowing how He wants this church to fulfill the assignment that He's given it, and to bring the supernatural revival where we no longer just talk about it, but walk it in it. Where revival rages here and then the embers are blown by the Holy Ghost all around the world. And when I think it's been 2,000 years since the Master went to, in His glorified body, went to be with the Father. In all those years, very few times, did the kind of revivals break out that we see in the book of Acts. And I know just thousands upon thousands of men and women smarter than me, more educated than me, probably love God more than me, did their best, and lived and died, and revival did not come. Not that kind. So the more we go into this, the more that one verse just keeps coming to me. When He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. So I am really glad that the Holy Spirit brought us to this church, because I know I have a shot. I've been taught how to yield myself to the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. Man may not be smart enough. Man may not be disciplined enough. Man will always disappoint you. Have you figured that out yet? But if we can somehow hang on to the coattails of the Holy Ghost, follow Him, I firmly believe He is smarter than we are dumb. And if we hang on to His coattails, you know what I mean by that? We're going to make it. We're going to make it. It's not by power. It's not by might. It's by My Spirit, says the Lord. So especially on Wednesday night, knowing that you are the diehards, the hardcore, it just won't do for me to come and bring a nice little Bible lesson. My job is not to come and say what I know, not on Wednesday night especially. My job is to come and say what I hear. So here we go. And I probably don't even know. I think we'll know in hindsight why this tonight was vitally important at this point along the path. All I know is I'm trusting Him. What I hear, that's what you're going to get. Well, open to Ephesians. We'll probably start in chapter 4. I don't know if we'll make it to all of these or not. Might. But one of them that I want you to for sure put a marker in is Leviticus. You know, it's back where the pages are still new anyway. They stick together back there. Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 10. And I know we'll be in John chapter 8. We've been over this little passage here in Ephesians over and over and over again. Some might ask, well, Gary, how many times are you going to keep going over this? Till we're walking in it. I don't know how long that is. But to me, the crux of the book of Ephesians, where you make, in engineering we call it the tipping point. You know, you get to a certain place and the balance beam goes over the fulcrum. It's the tipping point. is Ephesians 4, verses 22 through 24. Because you're either going to do this or you're not going to do this. And we are either going to do this or we're not going to do this. And if we don't do it, our names will be just another group that never made it into revival either. So he says here in Ephesians 4, verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, we've done a lot of teaching on that. If you've read Dave's book, you know that if you're born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost, there's a spiritual mind inside your natural brain. That's where you hear from God. That's where prophecy originates. That's where tongues originate. When you hear Him, that's where it comes from, that spiritual mind. You've got a spirit on the inside of you that's connected to the Holy Ghost. So that renewing of the mind, we could go back and bring in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The natural man, he can't know these things. But the Spirit, He teaches these things. The things we teach are the things which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual. All of that is included in this one little sentence in verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. He's talking about being retrained by the Holy Ghost. See, when you spend time with the Holy Ghost, it's your spirit in communion with Him, your spirit. He's teaching you. At that moment, I was talking specifically about praying in other tongues. At that moment, the understanding is unfruitful. It's not going directly to your natural mind. The Holy Spirit's communicating with your spiritual mind. As your spiritual mind comprehends these truths, comparing spiritual with spiritual, it's your spirit, really, once it understands a lesson, it's your spirit that normally turns around to your natural mind and says, now check this out. Let me explain this to you. Well, that's the renewing process. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And as that happens, you put on this new man, which after God, and that means in the image of God. After God, that means in the image of God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's the real you. No matter how much you sinned this week, no matter how mad you got, no matter how much you lied, no matter how much you did anything this week, the real you, if you're born again, is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now you can go off the deep end there, and a lot of people have. And they just completely separate righteousness from your flesh. Well, it doesn't matter. Let us eat, drink, and be merry, you know. If it's just my spirit, my spirit's okay, it's righteous and holy, then I can just live any way I want. Well, when you're in hell, you'll be sorry you said that. That's not true. You can't live any way you want. Well, but I can't digress tonight. I've got to stay real close with what he's saying here. The point tonight is this. Can you tell there's an old man and a new man? This new man is who we're supposed to walk in. How does it happen? By the renewing of the mind. And it's more than just renewing of the mind. It's be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That new man is going to have to be nurtured by the Holy Ghost and grow up in you. And as that happens, your natural mind is renewed. Now, we covered this last year, but back up to chapter 2 in Ephesians. We need to find out a little more about this new man. If we're going to put him on, we've got to find out a little bit about him. One thing that we found out last year, this new man, this new creature that you are, is neither Gentile nor Jew. It's neither one. We've got that here in Ephesians 2. So let's just read it. Now the letter is written to people who, you know, Ephesus. These were people that grew up believing that Diana was God. They had a big temple. They were famous for the great temple of Diana. And you can read it over in the book of Acts. You know, they shouted for 2 hours, great, the great goddess Diana of the Ephesians, you know. These were religious people. But look what Paul says about them. See, right here, if you just get this part right here, it'll come against inclusion. When I say inclusion, that's the current gospel that means gospel. I guess it's another gospel. Paul said, if anyone come preaching another gospel, let him be accursed. Well, the current another gospel is, as long as you're sincere, there's many paths to God. See, that'll get a lot of people sent to hell if they believe you're preaching. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Paul here, now these people at this time, a very popular religion of that day was this Diana worship. They were religious people before they got saved. But look what Paul says about him. He doesn't say they were okay just because they were sincere. So he says in Ephesians 2, starting in verse 11, wherefore remember that you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that's the Jews, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise. Now notice, having no hope and without God in the world. Does that sound like inclusion to you? Anywhere you hear that, and you're going to hear it more and more, it's the gospel of the end times. All right, can you see that though? These are Gentiles. So he says, but now in Christ Jesus, they're born again. You who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now, who is he talking about there? Well, who had the covenants of promise? That was the Jews. But there was a partition between them at the time. Now notice verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. For to make in himself of twain, that means of the two, of the Jew and the Gentile, of those two he has made one new man. So making peace. Now we did last year we did a demonstration, and I brought some chairs up and I had them on each side of the altar here, and I had this young lady come who was born according to the flesh, a Jew. Then I had some of those barbaric Gentiles come up, you know, sit on the other side, and then we had Christ in the middle. But through his death, the Jew and the Gentiles, we were all judged guilty in Adam. We all died. As far as God's concerned, the whole species of Adam died the day Jesus died on that cross. It was judgment day. Judgment day. The whole species is dead as far as God's concerned. Jew and Gentile. But for those who believe, who hear the gospel and believe, when they believe, the Holy Ghost comes and quickens that spirit, that dead spirit, to life again. Whether you're Jew or whether you're Gentile, in Christ, you're made a new creature that did not exist before. The term Messianic Jew, I know what they mean by that. They're trying to make some kind of division. It's a shame. There is no such thing as that, really. You're a new creature. You're a new creature. Ultimately, we do have the forgiveness of sins. You know why? You died. You were judged guilty in Christ. You died as far as God's concerned. It's over. You died. And who you are now is not the person you were before you met Jesus. And he keeps driving this point home because apparently it's something foundational for the revival to come. Now, we've talked about this before, but now get it straight. All of these things about, well, our Jewish roots. Okay, I appreciate, I love Abraham. I love everything that we learn from the patriarchs. I love all that. I am not a born-again Gentile. I'm really not. I was a Gentile who got born of God. What are you now? A believer. I am the offspring of the living God, wearing an earth suit that allows me to operate, function on this planet. I'm on temporary assignment to rescue as many sons of Adam as I can. That's it. That's who I am. But your heritage is Gentile. No, it's not. It's God. My heritage is God. My father is Jesus. Be honest with you. He is my Adam. When you really understand that, you'll never be worried about generational curses again. You're not really the... in the flesh, I am the son of O.R. Carpenter, you know. But in the spirit, I'm not. There's not something my great-great-great-grandpappy did 4 or 5 generations ago that's some curse that's passed down to me. And that would have to be something in the spirit. In the spirit, Jesus is my Adam. And every believer just goes back one. You're just one. Jesus. 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 How many of you think you got a curse from him? You're a new creature. You're not of this world. That's why he said it. He said, Father, they're not of the world like I'm not of the world. Paul even says, we don't even know Jesus after the flesh anymore. Now, to a Jew, what that means? To a Jew, who are you? Well, I am so-and-so, who is the son of... I am the son of so-and-so, who was the son of so-and-so, who was the son of so-and-so. And hopefully they can go all the way back to Abraham. And we have that for Jesus. We have that lineage. There was a time when they knew him that way, but once he himself was born, can I say, again from the dead, he is called the firstborn from the dead. That's not talking about born from physical death. Lazarus had already been raised from the dead. People in the Old Testament had already been raised from the dead. He's talking about the first person that ever went from spiritual death to spiritual life. He's the firstborn from the dead. That's why he is the author. He is the first, the alpha of our species. There was none before him. None. Not one. Got that? Well, they don't know him. Paul says, we don't even know him after the flesh anymore. He's not of the lineage of Abraham anymore. No. You got that? You're not of the lineage of Adam. Your body is. Aren't you glad we're getting a new one someday? The older I get, the happier I am about that. But anyway. With this one new man. You know that the Bible says Jesus was born of a woman. Born under the law. The law was in full force during his time before the cross. During his 3 years of ministry and his whole life before the cross. The law was in full force, was it not? Jesus, born of a woman, born under the law. All right, go to John chapter 8. And also, now's the time, pinch together John 8 and Leviticus 20. That's a big pinch. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him. And he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. Taken in adultery. Personally, I think that was some kind of a setup. Otherwise, how would they know? I think today they would holler entrapment. Somehow, though, apparently caught in the act. Okay? This woman was taken in adultery in the very act. It doesn't leave you in the very act. Here come the Pharisees breaking in. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? Now, just so you'll see it in your own Bible, that's where I want you to go back to Leviticus 20, verse 10. They weren't lying about that. Leviticus 20, verse 10. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. First off, why didn't they bring the man? It's another reason why I think it was a setup. Okay? But at least the woman, I mean, what they said about the woman's true, isn't it? There it is. Leviticus 20, verse 10. Christ, born of a woman, born under the law. What are you going to do about this now, Jesus? What are you going to do about this? Moses commanded death. That's the law. What are you going to do? They're setting him up, aren't they? They're trying to entrap him. That's all you needed. You can let go of Leviticus now. I just wanted you to see how clear it was. It's not. Did you notice it wasn't like, there's no gray area there? Put him to death. So verse 5 again in John 8. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. Now what are they going to accuse him of? Teaching opposite to the law of Moses. And he is under the law at this point. He is born of a woman, born under the law. The law is in full force. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. We're not told what he wrote. I have heard all kinds of speculation. I have my own opinion. I've heard several good things. Could be, you know, some say, well, he started writing the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet. He just asked him, which one of you is without sin? That'd be okay, you know, that might work. He could be. But see, I figure God is smart. And if we needed to know what he wrote on the ground, God would tell us. We don't need to know. All we need to know is the end result of what happened. Whatever he wrote on the ground, trust me, if he ever comes to you and starts writing on the ground, it's going to affect you. It's going to be personal. It's going to be right to the core. But whatever he wrote, watch what happens. That when they heard it, you know, heard what? He that's without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. Now, think about that. Listen, we go by this, all these things so quick. Now, when they thought about that. Now, you know who these guys are. These are the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They present themselves as keeping the law. Just so you'll know that they didn't. Go to Galatians chapter 6. Keep your place here. We're coming back to John 8. And we'll start in verse 12. Paul's finishing up his letter to the Galatians, which you know was written to them because they were thinking about going back under the law after the cross. The Judaizers had come and said, well, we're not denying Christ, but if you want to be really perfect, you've got to keep the law. So Paul tells them here, starting in summing up the book in verse 12, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Now here's the verse. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. Did you hear that? Neither they themselves who are circumcised, they don't keep it. Why don't they keep it? They can't. That's the whole point of the law. The law was their schoolmaster to prove to them, you're going to need a Savior. You're not able to do this. Man tried for hundreds of years trying to keep the law. I like the way Dave says it, you know. Try with all your might. Come home that evening. Well, how'd it go at the office today, honey? Better kill another sheep, you know. Now, Paul, over in the book of Philippians, his letter to the Philippians, he says that according to the law, he was blameless. That doesn't mean he perfectly kept the law. What it means is he did his best to keep it, I'm sure. But just like anybody else, nobody could perfectly keep the law. So if you sin, you'd offer the appropriate sacrifice under the law for whatever that sin was. And once that's offered, then according to the law, you're blameless until you do it again. Well, he had always done his best to keep it, and then he'd offered the appropriate sacrifices. But he tells you right here plain, neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. While we're here, just look at verse 14, talking about the new man, this new creature. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. That means so much to me after last year, when I finally saw that I am not a Gentile. I'm not a Messianic Jew. I am out of those two, he has made one new man. I am in this world, but I am not of it. The world is crucified to me and I unto it. I'm just here on assignment. My citizenship is in heaven. We've got to get this. And I mean in more than just intellectual teach it on Wednesday night way. Because we're going to be operating by the physics of another world. You see Jesus operating it that way all the time. H2O in liquid form, I am an engineer, will not sustain the weight of a man. Not by the physics of this world. Now you freeze it, and you might, you could. But in liquid form, with a storm going and the waves going up and down, no. But yet Jesus walks on the water. We're not of this world. He says, the works that I do, you're going to do the same things. Not if we keep thinking we're just the same old person we always were, only forgiven now. Not with that mindset, we're not. Well, while we're here, back up two more chapters in Galatians. I want to give you this too. Just for those people that keep making a distinction between the Jew and the Gentile, and Messianic Jew. And right now what's real popular too is there's two covenants, they say. There's one covenant for the Jew and one different covenant for the Gentile. And the Jews don't have to be born again. That's nonsense. God loves them. I love them. But you must be born again. Now look right here. He says it this way too. Before I even read this, I'm in 3, by the way. I'm not going to tell you which verse yet. Years ago, Sue and I were going on a ministry trip to Houston. And at the time, that's when that song first came out, We Are the Children. And they had these billboards about every 10 miles. And it showed, the billboard was just full of faces, you know, and all different ethnicities. There's a whole lot of different groups of people. There was black ones and white ones and brown ones and almond eye and round eye. In other words, every kind you could, Japanese, Oriental, everything you could think of. All these faces. And the caption, we are all the children of God. And it just sounds so right, you know. I mean, you look at that and you go, yeah, yeah. Trouble of it is, he had just been teaching me out of the book of Galatians at that time, and I knew it was wrong. Because now look at this verse. See, it's true. We are all the creatures of God. We are all God's creation. But look what it says here. Verse 26 of Galatians 3. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. We are all his creations, but you are not his child spiritually until you have faith in Christ Jesus and be born again. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now here it is. There is neither Jew nor Greek. And that's Greek is just the term they would use for the Gentile. There is neither Jew nor Gentile. There is neither bond nor free. Get this. There is neither male nor female. Do you know you ladies are just as much an heir as any man? In Christ Jesus, there's neither male nor female. You're just as much an heir as any male. For you are all, here it is, one. One what? One new man in Christ Jesus. All right. Let's go back to the adulteress. Back to the adulteress now caught on the bed of adultery. What's that got to do with the new man? Well, Jesus knows the law. He knows what Leviticus says. He knows that they are absolutely right. This lady was caught in the act. The way I take it, drug off the bed of adultery, right? Caught in the act. And here she is guilty. He says, Moses, the law says, stone her to death. What do you say? Well, his answer to them, let him that is without sin cast the first stone. And I started to say a while ago, now these people, these Pharisees and scribes, and they presented themselves to the people as being the ones who keep the law. But when he says that to them, they're about to kill somebody. If they're going to cast those stones, somebody's going to die. So when he says what he says to them, let the one that's without sin, you cast the first stone. On the inside of, now I don't know what he's writing on the ground, but I do know what it means, those words mean. It says when they heard it, they're thinking, uh-oh, now I might be fooling the people. But if I'm going to take a rock and kill this lady, and I, by that act, because of what he said, I would be saying I'm without sin, I may have to give account of that to God. And each one of them knew they were guilty. And look what it says. When they heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest. I think that's interesting. It's not in there for no reason. Beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. Why do you think that was? Well, the ones that had lived the longest had had time to sin the most. It's just easy to me. Now, if I throw a rock and by my throwing, I'm declaring before God I'm sin free. He knows better than that. Now, no matter what these people think, God knows better. I'll have to give account. I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. One by one, they all left. And then Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now that's what he would always say. You can read all your Old Testament. Go and sin no more. Repent. Keep the law. God gave them the law. Always telling them, go and sin no more. Could they do that? If man could do that, then there was no reason for Jesus to die. But even as he said, it's the same thing he's been saying all through the Old Testament. Go and sin no more. But why in the world didn't he condemn her? Well, he's standing there looking at her, knowing she is the offspring of Adam, knowing that there is a nature on the inside of her that no matter how hard she tries, she can't keep the law. He also knows why he's come to planet Earth. Here in a little bit, if we get this far, he's going to say he judges no man. You know why? The whole judgment for her too. The entire judgment of Adam, can I say it that way, is going to fall on this one lamb. He's the picture that's been painted all through the Old Testament, thousands upon thousands of times, the sins of the people. An innocent lamb or some other innocent animal had to die. The blood had to flow. And all of those pointing towards the day when all of the sin of the entire species of Adam would be laid on one lamb. And that lamb would die for the sins of all. God. There is no other spotless Lamb of God. There is none other qualified. You had to be from a different realm. You had to have a spotless life. No man had it. This one had to come from heaven. The only pure, spotless Lamb of God. Why would he judge her when he is about to take her judgment? Let's go on. We're talking about the new man, see. He's looking at her. He knows she's a child of Adam. She's a Jew. She's guilty. Law says kill her. Jesus finds a way to negotiate her out of their predicament by having those people look at their own sins. And then he says, I don't condemn you either, and lets her go. Now let's follow up in context now the teaching that comes here for just a little while. Because in this chapter is the ultimate prophecy for new creatures. All right. Well, so let's pick it up in verse 11 again. So she said, no man, Lord. Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them. Now remember, he's been teaching in the temple, so now he's continuing. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. The whole world was, John says, the whole, in his first John, the whole world is in darkness. The whole world is in wickedness even until now. Isn't that right? He says, but I am the light, singular at this point. He that followeth me, here's a prophecy, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, and thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go. But you cannot tell whence I came and whither I go. You judge after the flesh. Now here it is. I judge no man. He sure didn't judge her, did he? Why? He's going to take her judgment. Yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself. The Father that sent me, he bears witness of me. Then said they unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, you neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself, because he saith, whither I go, you cannot come. And he said unto them, now he's really getting it down simple here. This is like Jane see the ball. He says, all right, now, you are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I said, now these are the scholars, these are the Pharisees, the scribes, these are the religious experts of the day. And he's going, how can I get this where you can comprehend it? I said, therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. You know what he's doing right here? He's evangelizing. In love, he is trying to tell them. He's being real straight with them now. He's being real straight, but he's telling them, look, if you don't believe I'm who I say I am, if you don't put your faith in me, you're going to die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, and even the same that I said unto you from the beginning, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. And they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Now this is the group that believed on him. Their list, most of them didn't. Some did. And look what he says. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you that believe and continue in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Boy, I love that. I remember hearing that in the denominational church I grew up in. But the way they presented it, free from condemnation, okay? Free from eternal hell, okay? Free from a lot of things. But I'll tell you one thing they didn't think it'd make you free from. And that's free from sin. Because the very next Sunday, they'd teach another message that says you're just an old sinner saved by grace. Lifting verses out of context. And the impression you got, I don't care if you go to that church 60 years, you still believe. You know God loves you. You'd know you'd be free from hell. You'd be free from condemnation if you trusted in Jesus, but you know you're just an old sinner. You can't help it. That's what you're going to believe for the next 60 years, 70, however long you go there. But now if we leave it in the context, free from what? Let's keep reading. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. Now hang on a minute. Egypt, Nebuchadnezzar, Darius, Cyrus. I don't know what they're talking about here. But anyway, we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? And right at that moment, they were in bondage to Rome. But anyway, Jesus answered them. Boy, he's not going to leave them any out. He's not going to leave any doubt about free from what? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant, and that's the word doulos, it means slave. You're not hired, you're owned. You have no choice. Slaves have no choice. Whoever committeth sin is the slave of sin. The slave abides not in the house forever, but the Son abides ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. In the context, let me ask you, free from what? Free from sin. The lady caught in the bed of adultery, even though he said to her the same thing God had been saying to the Jews for hundreds of years, according to the law, go and sin no more. What's going to happen? Well, she may or may not commit that one, but she's going to sin somehow. Jesus said, those that believe on me and continue in my word, they will become a people. Finally, after 4,000 years, a people who are no longer slaves to sin, but are finally free to never have to sin anymore. Buddy, that is more than making your old self do better. That is putting off one type of creature and putting on a whole new type of creature. The one you're putting off was the slave. He had no choice. The one you're putting on is a free man, born of God. So, Gary, you've been sin free ever since you got born again? No, I have not been sin free. I don't know that I've been sin free today, to be honest with you. And we never will be until we're renewed in the spirit of our mind. This has to be taught. Listen, this is an identity change. And I'm telling you right now, you have no evidence in the natural that what I'm telling you is true. Well, maybe a little bit. Maybe a little bit. Again, I'm going to go back to those early days where I didn't know nothing except Jesus saved me. That's all I knew. And I could shundai. You know, Michael taught me to get baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I knew I could shundai. Without hardly any, you know, we were in the basics of the basics. He was just trying to make us believe we were actually saved, you know. But in that first month, righteousness, that creature, began dealing from the inside out. I've told you, alcoholism left, pornography left the house, lots of other things. I never had a desire. I've never been in another bar, never in my life. And you just don't know. That was my life before. I just lived. I worked so hard to make that money so I could go to the bars and get drunk, and couldn't wait to do it again next Friday night too. I never had a desire. I mean, a lot of things changed. But I'll tell you what, I've done. Now, fortunately for you, I'm up here and you're not. So you don't have to stand here and say what I'm about to say. Here I am, born again, son of the living God, baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I'll just tell you plain, I've done a lot of sinning over the last 30 years. Maybe not the same kind. But there's all kinds of sin, you know. Quiet in here now. Nobody wants to say nothing. You know, one of them that was real obvious, you know, was Sue and I by ourselves kept the Febreze company in business for years because of all of it we bought trying to cover up the cigarette smoke. Yeah, smoked for 3 eternities in 2 days. But then there's other stuff too, you know. What? Like what? What? Lies? Exaggeration? Gossip? Aren't you glad you're not up here? And even today, opportunities for exposure of the old man. Opportunities to let my emotions or temper get the best of me. Other things, like what? Again, none your business. What I'm saying is, if I take my evidence from how I feel or what my flesh wants or even what I did today, I would sit down, I'd go back to the denominational church and say, you're right, I really am just no sinner saved by grace. See, the only evidence I have, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. The only evidence I really have that I am this creature who is no longer a slave to sin is God's word. It's God's word. Look at it again. Is it in your Bible? Back up to where we were there. Verse 32 of John 8. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free from what? Come right on down. Verse 34. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the slave of sin. And the slave abides not in the house forever, but the son abides forever. If the son, therefore, if Jesus, if he makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Free from what? Committing sin. Well, now I'm in a dilemma. It's the same dilemma that I faced with Romans 6 years ago while I was still smoking. I knew it was wrong to smoke. I had been smoking since I was 14. Decades had gone by. I didn't even know. I'd never had any experience as an adult person not having that crutch to lean on. I had tried everything. I told you I tried the patches. I tried the gum. There was one trip where I was chewing gum, the nicotine gum. I had a patch on each arm, and I had to pull over for a smoke. Okay. But I'd read Romans 6, and it just tell me, having been made free from sin, you have become the servants of righteousness. Romans 6 leaves you no out. And I remember that day, I had tried and tried and tried so many times. And I just wish Romans 6 would change and say, some of you are just going to be a smoking child. I wish it would say that. And I thank God for Dave, because he kept me in with hope. You know, he'd say, you know our mantra around here, better is a creep that prays than a creep that doesn't pray. That's what kept me going. I said, well, I'm a creep, but if I just keep praying, you know. And Dave says, God will walk through hell with you, and your faults, as long as you don't start justifying them. Now, you may not know how to walk completely free yet. But if you're giving yourself to prayer and to the word and to this, you know, doing, offering yourself to those things that will one day spell out your freedom, God will walk through hell with you. And he did. With nicotine. Little Potawatomi came out right there. I'm sorry about that. With nicotine-stained fingers, Sue and I saw him heal cancer through our hands. Religion just gasps. You thought it was our fingers? He is the power. Yeah, he worked with us. The gifts are just that. They're gifts. Works through babies, too. Well, what I'm trying to point at, what I'm trying to say is this. I was walking in the field out there one day at the ugly building, just that cloud following me. I was just smoking away. That cloud that was following me was not the Shekinah glory, okay? It was... And I was just so tired of trying and failing. I'd gotten in every line. You know, I go to all the big camp meetings in town. Kenneth Hagin had laid hands on me. Marilyn Hickey had stomped on my cigarettes. On, Bob Yandian had stopped on them. On and on. And the only thing that happens is you got to stop on the way home and buy some more. You know, that's the only good that does. Or you might make it a day, you know. And So I was frustrated, and I'm reading Romans 6 again, just puffing away, you know. And I said, God, do you know the only evidence I have that I'm free from this sin is your word? As soon as I said it, I knew I was in trouble. As soon as the words came out of my mouth, I heard just what you think I'd hear. And that's all the evidence you need. Well, he's calling us to believe something. That in the natural, you have very little evidence. You are a creature from another world, spawned of God himself, not bound by the physics of this world. You are in this world. You are not of it. And whether you believe it or not at this point, the truth is you are the master over sin. You are the master over every devil in Jesus' name. You are not who you think you are. You are who the Bible says you are. Somehow, now this is an identity change. This is not just something we preach. This has got to be who we are. I'm tired of waking up and trembling and fearing that the You know, what's the devil going to do to me today? Not that I don't really do that, but that's kind of the attitude of a lot of Christians, you know. Well, what? Oh, shaking in the bushes. The truth of the matter is, the devil ought to be the one hiding in the bushes every time he said, oh no, the Christians are awake again. What damage are they going to do to my kingdom today? How many blind are going to see? How many lame are going to walk? How many deaf are going to hear? I can't stop them. They've learned who they are. They actually believe the Bible. Who would have ever thought? It'd be good for you to say it. I am a disciple. I have continued in His Word. I have been born again. Whom the Son makes free is free indeed. No matter what it looks like, the Bible is true. I am free from committing sin. In Jesus' name. Can you imagine if I preached that message right there in the kind of church I grew up in? I believe the day will come we will. But we'll have such evidence to back up our words. That's the way Jesus did it. He didn't just say, go preach it. He said, you go preach it and demonstrate it. Then, if they don't hear you, shake the dust off. Well, we're about to do exactly that. Amen? Did y'all get anything out of that? You understand you're a new creature in Christ Jesus? Hallelujah, hallelujah.